This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Saturday Magazine, every Saturday from 10 until noon on Joy 94.9.
Manus Island is closing in a few days, or the government is closing the facility. Now, David Mann has joined us. Good morning, David.
Good morning.
Now, I'd like you to introduce yourself. How would you introduce yourself? What's your claim to fame?
Oh, look, I am... there was no warning about this.
No.
look, I'm my day job is a refugee. I'm a human rights lawyer. But yeah. I run the largest NGO, legal NGO for refugees and asylum seekers and migrants in Australia. So, you know, that's
good.
What I do on a daily basis.
I sometimes like people to say it themselves because I often get it wrong.
Yeah, right. Well, yeah. No worries. It's called Refugee Legal.
Yes.
But it's,
And it's a great organisation.
It is.
And great work.
Manus Island closes next week, or the government close it. What is going to happen to the people that are still there? So what's going to happen to them? What is the government's plan, or does the government not have a plan? Are they just going to...
They're going to turn the power off, I believe.
Yeah, they're going to turn the power off. They're going to cut off the water supply. They're essentially going to systematically cut off all services that, you know, are basic necessities for people to you know, live, to survive. And
while people still remain on the camp?
No. So what they're doing, so essentially the closure is the closure of the detention centre where people have been, you know, warehoused essentially. It's experiment in human warehousing again. And that centre, that horrendous centre, which has seen this terrible inhumanity for years now, for over 4 years, and these cruel conditions, that's being shut down. And your first response might be, well, that's good to shut that down. But the perverse irony of it is that it's even worse for the men to be forced out of there because they're being forced out into another part of Manus Island. They're being told, you either have to go to this other part of Manus Island, to this transit centre, or you go to Nauru. So, you know, another completely impossible option. Or you go home. Or... Yeah, and we're talking when the prospect of going home, and you know, it's worth bearing in mind that, you know, we have had political leaders in this country from the government saying they can go home, but sorry, these are people who've been adjudged to be refugees. These are people who've been found to be at serious risk of being tortured, brutalized in their homeland. And the idea that you can go home is complete nonsense.
So I mean, for us, you know, I agree with you. I understand. I mean, where does it come from, David, that we can have politicians that can say something as patently ridiculous and stupid and hateful as, oh, well, they can go home?
Well,
like, you know, why are we in this position? How have we got to this position?
Well,
where the Australian government is saying such treating people so appallingly. I mean, I don't get it. I don't understand it.
Well, it's a variety of ways you can come at it, but one of the things that's happened in our country in an era which I would characterise more broadly, and you were talking about it before, is we live in an era of the failure of politics in this country. Politics doesn't work, right? When can you last remember, for some significant period, political leaders in this country coming up with the big question, you know, articulating the big questions and going out there and having the argument, having the discussion with the public? You don't get it. And you don't get it here either. We have not had a proper dialogue in this country about an alternative to this obscenity, you know, of treating people in this way. And we need that dialogue. But one of the things which lies at the heart of all of this is deterrence policy. And deterrence policy, you need to look at it square in the eye. Deterrence policy has an internal logic which is brutal. It goes like this. If we are to deter people, that is so-called stop the boats, that slogan that we've heard so many times, which has been turned into the central policy. Deterrence, the logic of deterrence is the more painful the penalty or the punishment, the more successful the policy. And that's why we see the treatment of these men on Manus Island. Hundreds of men being told, now, you have to leave this cruel detention centre and relocate to another part of the island where there are to a place where we know it's not safe. It's extremely dangerous. There have been serial attacks on refugees, and we know there are inadequate health services. But that's what I guess what I'm saying is that's the end point. That's where deterrence policy in its extreme form leads to, because it's using these people as sort of, you know, they are if you like, you know, the human face, but they're also objects for the government to show what happens to you if you dare to get on a boat. So they are collateral, you know, collateral damage in this policy.
David, it sounds like a complete massive failure of public policy.
It is. It is. And, you know, one of the things, and I think it's worthwhile also remembering, it's not just this government. I mean, turned up the on a scale of severity, they've turned up the dial.
But somehow they've managed to actually turn down the noise, though.
Well, yeah, and part of the strategy, of course, is that because we're dealing with human beings, the prospect of us confronting as a nation the idea that we're doing this to human beings is dreadful. And so consistently governments have tried to keep people out of sight, out of mind. They try and keep away, obscure the human face of it. I think there's one really critical bit in terms of solutions in the end to this, where we, you know, come up with alternatives, and that is, the way I put it is this: whatever you might say about politicians might say, or we might say about the mandate to stop the boats, okay, and we hear this all the time, politicians saying there is a mandate to stop the boats. Let's just take that for a moment. If that is the case, that there is some mandate to stop the boats, I ask the question, where is the mandate to mistreat people in this way?
Yes. Yeah.
There is. Yeah. I think it's one of the great national falsehoods at the moment that there is somehow what you know comes with that is this mandate to mistreat. Is there any mandate to send babies, mums, young men to this sort of cruelty?
I wonder. You know, they talk about these people being in Australia or being illegal, which I actually don't agree with because we have international obligations. You know, we've had members of parliament who've been in parliament illegally. Deputy Prime Minister's been in parliament illegally for 13 years. Right. Why don't we send him to Manus Island? Why don't we take away his electricity?
We have a message from one of our listeners.
No, I mean, it's a lack of good public policy. It's a lack of respect
for the
law.
It's going to where you're going to, Macca. 317 says, Gareth Evans was right. They've become nastier, meaner and dumber in our politics. I quote.
So, David, how do you deal with this? How do you keep focused? How do you keep positive and moving forward when you are faced with such an appalling set of circumstances?
Well, look, I live with great hope, when I talk about hope, what I would call a clear-eyed hope, in the sense of there are these looming humanitarian crises that we're talking about, and they're both in Australia and abroad. But hope in a way is a condition of the soul, if I can put it that way. The great Czech writer and politician present in the end, Václav Havel, called that. Yes. He said, "Hope is it's a condition of the soul." And I what I mean by that is, I am hopeful of change, and history is on my side. Martin Luther King talked about the arc of history bending toward justice, and that's what it tells us. I mean, I hope soon that we see parliamentarians coming together and doing the right thing on same-sex marriage, and that will be another example of the arc of history turning toward justice. And we've seen so many great developments in human history, the development of the human rights treaties and the human rights movement. We've seen the emancipation of slaves, the abolition of slavery, etc. So I think if you have a – and we don't do this enough. We don't look at history. and what it tells us. We don't look at the fact that, for example, in the 70s and 80s in Australia, instead of people coming by boat during the Indo-Chinese refugee crisis, we flew in 180,000 people.
I know.
We flew them in. We didn't have to get on a boat.
People forget this.
Because it comes back to one fundamental thing for me. I actually believe in the goodness that exists in our country, and we don't hear enough of it.
Why do you think that the boat journey had become so highly stigmatised in that way?
Well, I think that there's a few things. I think in our country we have, for various reasons, we have what I call territorial anxiety. There's this sort of fear of invasion, and it's deeply embedded. I can tell you, you know, supposedly sophisticated, you know, good minds, you know, in our country who've sat around the table in the war room devising policy, they have often, I'm told, and sometimes I hear it and see it when I go to Canberra, they have this visceral fear of invasion, visceral fear of our borders being breached. And that politics of fear has enveloped our country. Mm. And yet, on a day-to-day basis, you know, our country, our community, our country is full of good people, goodness, and so I think we have to.
Do you think our leaders are actually fueling this fear as well?
I'm sure they are.
They're not fighting it. Look, unfortunately, David, we've run out of time, but I want to have you back for a longer chat because, you know, amongst those refugees, also there are a number of members of our community. And what I'll do is I'll find the quote on air from Bill Shorten when a few years ago, where he gave a commitment about ensuring that members of our community that were in offshore detention were looked after.
Mm.
And we can investigate that because it's both sides.
Fabulous. Just on that goodness, if you've got 2 seconds, last night we thanked our over 550 volunteers who give their time for free to help us to help thousands of people, you know, seeking asylum in this country. And, I bumped into Paul Kelly a few years ago at a function. He said, look, very passionate about refugee issues. And he said, let us know if you ever want me to help out. And so I called him on it.
Yeah, they knew.
And he played last night for just as a gift.
Great.
To those fantastic volunteers, just down the road, actually. And he finished with From Little Things, Big Things Grow.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah. But I think that, you know, if you're asking the question, where do we head? Well, that is, in fact, part of it.
That's a nice way to end the interview. It is. Thank you very much for coming in, David.
David Mann, Executive Director, Refugee Legal. You are on Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9.
Saturday Magazine, every Saturday from 10 until noon on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.